We begin the current daf in Sechtes Nedarim, daf Mem Hei. We begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, which is actually continuing the discussion of two brises and one Mishnah. That is, our Mishnah taught us on daf Mem Gimel Med Aleph, a machlekes Rabbi Yisi and the Rabbanan, where Rabbi Yisi held that a person cannot give something to someone else that is forbidden as a neder to have enough of him by putting it on a rock. And on that, the Gemara explained, which was going according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Yisi argues in Rabbanan regarding when it's someone's mafker something, Rabbi Yisi holds that it actually doesn't leave his rishus until someone else acquires it. Therefore, when he's getting it from the rock, essentially he's getting it from the mother, and that's why it's forbidden. Whereas the Tanakam, the Rabbanan held that no, once you're mafker, it totally leaves his rishus right away. Now, there was a brisa that was spoke about mafker sadeyu, that for 3 days he could retract, whereas if it's for a limited time frame, then it depends on if someone else acquired it or not. We had a machlekes Ula and Rish Lakish, how to interpret that brisa. Ula said the entire brisa is like the Rabbanan, which we just explained their opinion in the Mishnah, and Rish Lakish said that actually it's all going like Rabbi Yisi. Now on that, then there was the second brisa that the Gemara quoted on the Mem Dalem Beis, which the Gemara had asked from that brisa on Rish Lakish's interpretation, where it spoke about that if someone declares his kerem, his vineyard, ownerless. Next one, he gets right back up and starts working his field again and taking off the fruits. So on that, it said that he's actually obligated in the matnas aniyim of peret oilis shikhem peya. However, he's exempt from maaser, which the Gemara asked. That b'risa makes sense according to Ula, that it's going like the Rabbanan, and it's toma biblically, where biblically the Rabbanan hold that one, once he's mafgrid, it's totally out of his rishos, and that's why he's exempt from maaser. So the rabbinically, that for 3 days he would be obligated because of the Ramayin, but the Brisa is told about regarding the biblical halacha. So the Gemara asks, according to Rish Lakish, why is he exempt from Meiser if we're explaining that previous Brisa are total like Rabbi Yisi? According to Rabbi Yisi, he should be chayv of Meiser, because according to Rabbi Yisi, even biblically, it's, and especially the next morning, it has never left his Rishos, and therefore he should be chayv of Meiser. It's not like something that was hefker. On that, the Gemara gave the answer that you're right. The previous brisa, he said, like Rabbi Yisi, this brisa of a mafkar's kamer obviously has to be going like the Rabbanan, and that's why you're going to be exempt from maaser. And that's why our current daf continues and says, Ibo Yisim, the Gemara says, another answer we could give for Rish Lakish regarding the brisa of a mafkar's kamer is that actually we could say, just like Rish Lakish had interpreted the first brisa total like Rabbi Yisi, we could say that even that brisa that's exempting him from maaser when he's bringing baitzer's kamer the next morning is also like Rabbi Yisi. Now, the reason being is because, this that we taught in the previous brisa and in the explanation of our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yisi says that someone that's mafker something could always retract, that was only talking about the afgre b'anpei train. It was talking about when he only declared ownerless in front of two people, which the Ran points out the primary idea of that is not really the number two, but that there's not three people there, which is similar to the case of the Mishnah, which is what the whole basis of Rabbi Yisi's opinion was mentioned, where it was when you have Shneim Baderech, you have two people on the road, and there was no one else with them, which was the case that we said that he's Mudra Anah from him, so what do you do? So that was regarding putting the loaf of bread on the rock and saying it's Hefker, where Rabbi Yisi said that's not going to work because it's really still the Mafkers until the person acquires it, and therefore he's getting it from the Madr and not from Hefker. Now that's what the Gemara is pointing out, that it's specifically actually in that type of a case where Rabbi Yisi said it's going to be Aser, and the reason being, because Rabbi Yisi holds, such types of hefkers that is in front of less than three people, like when these two people are walking in the road, then is where he said that hefkers like matana, that until someone else acquires it, it hasn't yet left the domain of the mafker. And the reason being is because since there's no one else there, or even if there is someone else there, but there's only two people, then the hefker is obviously made for the intention to be one of those people that's there that is being mafkered in front of them. And the reason being is because when there's only two people, there's no what's called koil. The word doesn't get out. And therefore, in such a situation, when you're making it hefker, no one else is hearing about it because there's no koil. It's only when you have three people that word gets out. Chavra, chavra, and people start talking about when there's just two people. Obviously, then it's like the parameters of a matana, because just like by matana, it doesn't leave the rishus of the one who's giving the gift until it gets to the one who's acquiring it, because that was the whole intention, that he's only gifting it for the other person to get it. So here also, the hefker was only done with the intention of this other person, or when there's two people, one of these two people. Obviously not for everybody, because he knows no one else is going to hear about it. Now that's why, that just like by Matana, it doesn't leave the rishus of the one who's giving it until it comes to the domain of the one who's receiving it. So too, that's where, as Rabbi Yechanan explained the halacha of Rabbi Yisi, which is the premise of how we're explaining this opinion of Rabbi Yisi and the first price that we quoted, is that by hefker would be the same type of halacha, that hefker in this regard would be like a matana. And so too, the first price that we had brought regarding a mafker esedeyu is also made in hefker in that same type of a situation. That's why the Brisa says that actually zacha, until someone else doesn't merit it, bein hu bein acher, that yachal lachzer, but that he could retract. Why could he retract? Because that's when Rabbi Yisi said that it doesn't leave the domain of the mafker. Why doesn't leave the domain of the mafker? Because it was only made in front of one or two people. And then it's like a matana, because he doesn't really mean to make it totally hefker. He only makes it for these two people. So if one of these two people take it, then fine, but if not, not. Now, however, that's what the Gemara is differentiating now. But baha, this brice, the second brice that we brought on Memdalam and Beis, when someone is mafker his kerem, his vineyard, and then the next morning he gets up and he starts picking those fruits, that the Tana of the Brisa says that it is exempt from Maisa, which we said seemingly would not be like Rish Lakish in the sense to be like Rabbi Yisi, because according to Rabbi Yisi, he holds that when you're mafker it, it doesn't leave your Rishus. It's still Bishus on mafker, and that's why he could retract. That's not true. That, we say, is Toma to Afgri Ba'abit Klasa. That previous Brisa was Tokma that he declared ownless in front of three people. Now, whenever there's three people, it's what's called Avsha Milsa. It's a big word. The word gets out when there's three people. Now, therefore, when the person's mafker declares his vineyard ownerless in front of three people, he obviously meant that it's ownerless, that it's considered hefker for the whole world. And therefore, the Rabbi Yisi would agree it's not comparable to matana. And therefore, although by matana, until it comes to the domain of the receiver, it has not yet left the domain of the one who's giving it, in hefker, in such a situation where there's three people, even Rabbi Yisi would agree that immediately it leaves the domain of the one who's being mafkrit. And therefore, Rabbi Yisi would also agree that Patam and Maisa, just like Drabbanan, because Rabbi Yisi says, hol halacha only when there's less than three people, like in the case of our Mishnah. But when there's three people, then he could be like the Tana of this second Brisa. As the Gemara says, Da'am Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Shim Ben Yitzadak. He says that, Kala mafke b'fnei shleisha have a hefker. Whoever declares something hefker in front of the three people, then it's hefker, again, like we just explained, because if you're doing it in front of three people, that means to say you mean that for everybody should be ownerless. But b'fnei shnayim, when you say hefker in front of two people, why have a hefker? That's not hefker. And the reason being is because since the word's not getting out, there's just two people over here. So obviously your intention of, quote, making it hefker was only for these people. Now if it's just for these people, then that's like what a matana is, where you're giving it to someone else. Until that person gets it, it's still considered in the domain of the nisin. So too, that's where Rabbi Yisi said that it's b'shus of the mafka, and therefore that's a second approach for Rish Lakish that he doesn't have to say like this price like Drabbanan. He could say it's even like Rabbi Yisi. Now, however, Rabbi Shub ben Levi, I mean, he argues on this point of Rabbi Yechon and the Shem of Rabbi Shim ben Yitzadok. He says that actually Dvar Torah biblically, afilu be'echad have a hafka. Truth is that even in front of one person, it would be hefker. Now, that is, as Rabbeinu Tam explains, that's because this machlikas Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shum ben Levi is that Rabbi Yechon holds like Rabbi Yisi, as we're explaining. That's how we're explaining for Rabbi Yisi that's why when there's less than three people, it's actually not going to be a full-fledged hefker. Whereas Rabbi Shum ben Levi is going like Drabbanan, and that's why Minatayra, it is immediately hefker, even if it's done in front of one person. It automatically leaves his rishos. Now, but on that, Rabbi Shum ben Levi explains, so umatam amar b'shleishos, then why did they say the halacha is brought down that hefker should be made in front of three people? And according to Rabbi Yechon, that makes sense. Because Rabbi Yechon says that, yeah, less than three is not a full-fledged hefker, like we explained for Rabbi Yisi. But according to Rabbi Shum ben Levi, that it is, so why did they say that you should have three people? That's for a different reason, k'dei sheyehe echad zeicha v'shnayim idim. Because we want three people to be there, so that when the one person who's going to acquire it from hefker, that you'll have two people saying testimony. Because if you only had two people, not three, when one of them goes and acquires it, so who's going to testify that the original owner had been mafkrit, he's going to contest and say it wasn't hefker. Now, although there's going to be one person who's acquiring it, he's not a kosher witness because he's a baldover, he's a litigant, and now there's only one person left over to say testimony. So therefore, rabbinically, it's not hefker until you make it hefker in front of three people, again, to avoid this problem of now the owner contesting it, that it's hefker, but biblically, Shimon Levi holds that actually it would be hefker even in front of one person. Now, the round concludes this sugya, and he says that actually this whole discussion from the previous daf is only according to the interpretation that we thought originally, when we explained the halacha of our Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel, that the reason of Rabbi Yisi why he held that it doesn't work to put it on the rock and say it's hefker for the mother to be able to get food to the mudder is because that he holds that hefker is like a matana where it doesn't leave the rishus of the mafker until someone else acquires it, which was the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan. But on that, the Gemara proved on Daf Mem Gimel Beis that his interpretation was refuted. And therefore, this says the Ran, that according to the Maskana, that we rejected the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, and rather we said like Rava, because it was a gzeir of Matnas B'Yishchayrin, so therefore it comes out that the interpretation of the Braisa of Amavker as Sedeyu, we would have to say is like Ula interpreted the Braisa, not like Rish Lakish, that the entire Braisa is going like the Rabbanan, and actually it would be even like Rabbi Yisi too, because actually according to the Maskana, like Rav interpreted, Rabbi Yisi doesn't argue on the Rabbanan regarding the Halach of Hefker. Rabbi Yisi agrees that Hefker is not like Matana. And right when you mafker it already, it leaves his domain. It's just because of a different reason of Matnas Beis Chayrin. And therefore, the reasoning of the Seifa is like we had explained, that until someone else is not Zeichenet, him or someone else, he could retract. Why could he retract? If we're saying the Rabbanan and even Rabbi Yisi agrees that right away leaves his domain, how could he retract? That is, as we explained on the previous stuff, is because since if you make something hefker for a limited time frame of a year or of a Shemitah cycle, it's not so common. So therefore, if someone's doing that, obviously his intention was that he doesn't want it to totally leave his domain. He still wants to hold on to it something until someone else acquires it. Again, as we had explained previously, that's why he's still going to be able to retract. But ultimately, the halacha is not like this whole discussion, but rather that even Rabbi Yisi agrees to the Rabbanan that once someone is mafkrid, it totally leaves his rishus right away, and the only reason why he argues on about giving it on the rock and be mafkrid is for a concern that it might become obvious that you're doing it specifically only for that, which that would be one big joke, and that's not really going to be hefker, and you're going to be violating from going from a mader to a mudr. Hanulach im bein hamudr, we shall return to you, the fourth parak of Masechet Nedarim, parak im bein hamudr, and with that, we continue on Tamid Beis, where we begin the fifth parak of Masechet Nedarim, parak hashutvim, which continues on this theme about when two people are forbidden to have enough of each other because of a neder. But here specifically, like the title of the parak is Hashutafen. We're talking about partners. Shenadru hanazem izeh, that they made a neder forbidding pleasure one from the other. So now the Tanna Kama says, Asur and Likanis Lachatze. Now neither one could go into their shared courtyard. The reason being is because this Tanna of our Mishnah holds that vitor, which is basically means to say something that people usually look away from, that no one usually cares if someone's walking into their field, which is called drisus regel, but this Tana holds that vitor is aser when there's a mudr hanoah, meaning when someone says, you're forbidden as a neder to have hanoah for me, he means to include even the things that people usually just gratuitously just do and they don't care and doesn't bother them, but when you're taking a specific neder hanoah, that will include, according to this Tana, even just walking into the field. And since each one owns part of the field, so each one can't go into his own field because of his partner who made a isra hanoah on him and he made on his partner. Now, however, Blazim and Yaakov, he says, no. He says, Zen nechnes l'teich shaloi, v'zen nechnes l'teich shaloi. The partners could walk into the field. And that is because the field is 50% owned by each partner. So he can go into his field, because on one hand he owns it, and he could go into his field. Now, as the Ram brings, as the Gemara concludes on the coming daf on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, that the case that they're arguing about is what's called a chatzar she'im b'din chalukah, is a courtyard that there's no halacha of it having to be or being able to be divided. And for as an example of that, if it's less than the amount that it could be split into two, it's only enough of a field or a courtyard if it's sheared. If you would have to split it, it wouldn't have the minimum shear of it being a field, so then therefore it cannot be split. That's where you could say that each one, it's going to be his, and that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold that it's going to be mutter. But regarding a courtyard, that there is what's called a din chalukah, meaning that each one can force the other one that I want to cede from the union and I want to have half mine and half yours, I don't want to share it with you anymore. And actually the Gemara's conclusion is that according to everybody, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that it would be aser, because since ultimately they could force each other to split, as we're going to learn on the next daf on Amud Beis, so therefore ultimately we're going to find out that it really, this was his half and that was his half, and therefore you can't go into the field because we're not sure which is going to be proven wasn't your part, and thus you might be violating now by walking in, which ultimately is going to turn out to be his part and not your part. So there, everyone's going to agree it's going to be aser. But here, the whole machlekes is by a field that is not going to be split. It's always going to be shared between the two of them. So what are they arguing about? So the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis explains that their machlekes is regarding this concept of, do you say yesh brera or ein brera? Do we say that there is what's called retroactive clarification, that now we know that this is really whose it was? And that is Rabbi Elazar holds that there is such a concept of yesh brera. Although now it's not clear, but now we can say once this is what we create, this is verified that this is what it always was. In other words, we could say, although you own the field and I own the field, but when I'm going into the field, now we say that this is retroactively clarified that I was going into my part of the field. And when you go into the field, and although you're forbidden to come into my field, and again, we both own this field together, we could say based on Breira that it's now verified that you were really going into your part of the field. Whereas Rabban hold that, no, we don't say Breira, what's called they hold Ein Breira. And that's why it's forbidden, because you can't say that this was, if it's not clear, you both own the whole thing, can't say that that molecule is his and this is his. We don't know, and therefore the whole thing is forbidden on both of them. Now, the Ran wonders, and he says that although the Rabbana hold Ein Breira, he's still bothered. Why is it, according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, forbidden for both partners to go into their shared courtyard? And the reason being is because since this courtyard doesn't have a din that it's going to be split up, and essentially what that means to say is that neither partner could force the other partner to split the field, and dutifully so that continues the logic, that neither one of them could forbid on his other partner from coming into the courtyard. So then the question is, so how could one partner make the other partner forbidden from coming into the field? And the reason being is because since he owns it just as much as you, so therefore, you can't make his field forbidden on him. And moreover, the Ran says, even if this case of Nadru Hana Zemi Zed, that each one was forbidden to have enough from each other, even if they took it, and not that one was doing it to the other, but each one said that I'm not having enough from you, but that includes his own field, which was shared with him, still the Ran wonders. He says, still it shouldn't be us for him to come into the courtyard. And the reason being is because when each one comes into the courtyard, he's having pleasure from his own field, not from his friend's field. And the reason being is because we said that each one can't hold back. He can't force his partner to do anything more than what he could do in his own field. So although, yes, I'm not having enough from you, but although that gives you rights in this field, but it's just as much my field too. So I'm not coming into your field, I'm coming into my field. So David, the Ron's bothered, even if they say Ein Breira, that it's not retroactively clarified that when I came into the field, I was coming to my half and not your half, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds, but still, forget about your half and my half, it's just as much my field as your field, and therefore the fact that I can't have enough from you shouldn't bother my rights from coming into my field. So therefore the Ran explains as follows. He says that the opinion of the Rabbanan is that since you can't say that each one acquired the entire physical field. It can't be, because if this one owns 100% of the field, then obviously the other one doesn't own 100% of the field. You can't say both own 100% of the field. Now, moreover, you can't say that, okay, fine, so obviously I don't own 100% of the field, because that would mean you own 0%, and you obviously also are a partner here. So, but what would you say? That maybe at the time when I'm using it, retroactively it's clarified that at the time when we had both bought the field together, that when I'm using it now, 10 years later, whatever it is, at this point in time, that this moment, it's 100% mine. And that is what the Rabban hold, that no, Ein Breira. You can't say that. We can't say retroactively it's clarified that this moment, it's all mine and 0% yours, because they don't hold to this concept of Breira. Rather, the Rabban hold that each one of these partners, there's two halachas in the field. Each one of these partners have in this courtyard his own portion, which is called a kinyan haguf, an ownership in the actual body of the field. Now there's a second halacha, which is a kinyan of shibud, that there's rights that he has in his friend's half. Both owned 50%, not 100%. But what does that mean? When before they made a neder, for example, they were both using 100% of the field, but they both can't own 100% of the field. So now the Ran's creating this logic in that he's saying that yes, they each own 50%. So how does he use the other 50%? Because he has a shibud, a lien, a rights into the other 50%. Where it's not just rights, is that the partner can't stop him from using his field, even though, really, the other 50% is not acquired by that partner. Now, David, the Rabban hold that that other 50%, which is what he's calling kinyan shibud, not kinyan haguf, that he has regarding the other 50% that is his friend's, koinamois, which is what a neder is, could be mafkia that shibud, could uproot that shibud. That's why Kohen Rabban is going to be also to come into the field, because as we learned later on the Peivavim Abayz, and we've quoted this halacha before, that koinamois are mafkia from shibud. A neder removes a halacha of shibud. And therefore, although that you're right, there was a shibud on the 50% of your friend, but once a neder is made, that removes the shibud, the lien, the rights that you have in that. And therefore, now, 50% of the field you're not allowed to come into. And since we don't know which 50% it is, therefore, you can't come into the field at all. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues under Rabban, and he holds that no, since there is a halacha concept of yesh prayer, therefore we say that every single moment when he comes into the courtyard, he was coming into his part of the courtyard. And that is the actual body of the courtyard is 100% his when he's utilizing it. And that is because he's not utilizing the whole field because of the Kinyan Shibud, that as the Rabbanan had a hold according to the interpretation of the Ran. Rather, it's because he's using 100% of the actual body of the field that's owned by him. Because, as the Ran says, as long as we could say, which is the case according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds Yesh Breira, that each person has an actual physical ownership in this body of the field, so it's not appropriate to say that he can use it only because of a lower level of what's called a Kinyan Shibud, and that is because a Kinyan Shibud is only something where that it's that you could forcefully use from the other partner. Here, again, as the Ran says, the only reason why the Rabbanan hold the way the Ran interpreted that you could use the other 50% of the field of Kinyan Shibud is only because they don't hold that you can have 100% ownership of the field, because obviously each one doesn't own 100% of the field. And although Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that you could own 100% of the field for some of the time, that's only because of Yesh Breira, to say, okay, now it's mine because I'm using it. Oh, now you come tomorrow. Oh, now it's yours. Oh, 100% of it. But the Rabbanan don't hold such a concept of Yesh Breira, and therefore they have to say there will only be based that you can use 100% of the field because of Kinyan Shibud. But once a neder is made, that removes the Kinyan Shibud, and since we don't know whose half is half, therefore you can't come into any part of the chatzar according to the Rabbanan. But according to Elazar ben Yaakov, you could, based on Yesh Breira, actually, when I use it, it's 100% mine. So Adam forbidden to have enough from you, it's not yours at this moment. When you come tomorrow, you could also use it, because then it's retroactively clarified that it's yours and not mine. Now, the Ran has a lengthy discussion over here from the following question that the Rishonim bring up. The reason being is because the way we just explained this machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan is in this halacha of Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. And that's how Ravina explains this machlokes in Perek Shoshe Nagach and Daf Nun Aleph Mabez. Now the question then is, how does our Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Mabez in the coming Daf say that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that he holds, as we just explained, Yesh Breira? But the problem is the Gemara Masechet Beit Daf Lamaches Amid Aleph concludes that when does Rabbi Yeshia not hold of Breira? That's by biblical halachas. But he says, but by rabbinic halachas, then there is a halacha concept of Breira. Now, the Gemara there concludes that halachas like Rabbi Yeshia. So, obviously we see, as the Gemara said for Rabbi Yeshia, is that by biblical halacha, which is what a neder is, that we hold Ein Breira, that there is no Breira. So we have a contradiction of halachas. How does our Gemara conclude halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that Yesh Breira, whereas the Gemara in Masechet Beis concludes by halacha d'oraisa, which is what Nedarim is, that Ein Breira. So the Ran brings many Rishonim regarding this discussion, and he concludes that actually it's not a question at all. He says that the truth is that our halacha, you're right, and our sugi is Breira, just like in general when we discussed the halachas of Breira. The only thing is that he differentiates in the qualitative components of Breira, and he says that here the Breira is better in the sense of that it's more easily usable. And that's why the Gemara here paskins like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even though generally you paskin that Ein Breira. And that is because, although here you're right, we need to use the halacha concept of Breira, which is that what's called Igloi Milsalem Afreya, that it's revealed retroactively that this is what the facts really are, is like on some level the halacha of Breira. And the reason being is because you can't say regarding this field that it's 100% his field and 100% his field. Because if he owns 100%, then he owns 0%. And if he owns 100%, then he owns 0%. So it can't be because they both are partners. Rather, what we have to say is that these partners, when they bought the field together, they bought it with this intention, that when one of them uses the field, when he's using the field, it's 100% his. And therefore, since at that moment, we don't know which day and which moment and which hour each one's going to be using the field, so you have to come onto the halacha concept of Breira to say that right now, when one of them is using it, so now it's retroactively clarified that from that first moment when they had bought the entire field together, that for this moment, that definitely, that as the Ran says, that just like there's a halacha, that a person can give acquisition for one person for 1 month, and then he wants it to be for another person for the next month, and each person in his moment will acquire it totally. And that is when, for example, there's a halacha that's called Nichsei Loch Vachraich Leplaini, which is that, as a Gemara Baba Basra like this, that if someone says that my properties belong to you and then afterwards they should go to somebody else, that of course a person could do that. He could say that I want it for this person then and that person then. The only thing is that over here, we don't know each one's specific time when it is, which day one of the partners are going to want to use the field. And therefore, it would only work, it's going to work along the same mechanism, but it only would work if you hold of the halacha of Breira, where we say that, okay, now that was what we bought it together for, that each one would use it separately when he wants to use it, as like a timeshare, but now we say that retroactively it's revealed from that first moment when we bought it, it would be, it's for these moments that you have it then and I have it 100% then. Now, and if you're going to say, okay, so then if the Breira in our sugya is like the Breira generally in the sugya, where it's revealed now what we didn't know at the time when it was acquired, so then the question was, so how can we pass on the Mahir like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, since generally we hold like a Rabbi Yishai that by biblical halacha we don't say Breira? So that's what the Ran explains, that the reason is because the Breira over here is better than the regular halacha of Breira. And that's because here the reason why generally that we say Ein Breira is because it's not fit for something to take effect on something that is a matter of doubt. In other words, just like we say by the halacha, when someone tells a scribe, I want you to write a get for my wife, but he has many wives. And he says, whichever one I end up deciding that I want to divorce, I'm going to use the get to divorce her. That the halacha is brought that it's possible to divorce her with that. Now, the reason for that is because since there's a doubt from the first moment in the essence of the get, who is it that is being written for? So that's called Ein Breira. You can't say that it's a good get. So too, for example, let's say you want to make an Eruv, but you don't know where the Chacham that's coming to give a drasha, where he's going to be. So you say, okay, if the Chacham comes to the east and I have to be able to get there, so I need an Eruv Tchumen, so I want my Eruv to be to the east. I don't know, he might be coming to the west. So I put another one in the west just in case. And obviously you can't have Eruv in two places because that's where your Shabbos location is. So if it comes to the west, I want it to work on the west. That it doesn't help because at the moment when the Eruv has to take effect by Bein HaShemashes, it wasn't clear which one should take effect. And therefore, since each one of these Erevin, we could say that maybe it didn't take effect whatsoever. So even though, yes, after the fact, later on Shabbos, we end up finding out where he came, but that's the halacha of Ein Breira, that you don't see retroactive clarification. So too by brothers that are splitting up a field. Since at that first moment, we're in doubt, maybe this is not going to be his part. So therefore comes out from the first moment, it's totally a doubt. And therefore, all types of those types of halacha is where we say, like Rabbi Yishai, that Ein Breira. But here, the essence is clarified from the first moment. It's only a minority of this that's only verified at a later point in time. And that is because since from the first moment, we're not in doubt. We know that each one is not getting 100%. And we're not in doubt because we know that each one only wants to have it at a specific time. So since we know that that's the way how they're buying it together, to apportion it like that, that each one should have it when he wants to, so therefore, since the essence of this field is something that's verified, we know that this is what we want it to work and operate like, the only thing is that what's only being verified at a later point in time in retroaction is a minority of it. In other words, the actual time, specific time, when each one is going to want to use the field and be the one that it's 100% his, in those types of cases is what our Gemara is concluding, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is where we say yesh breira. And the reason being is because you can't have a minority of this, of the structure and the framework of this field, which is in doubt, that even that's only being clarified later on, meaning exact times when each one is going to be 100% his, to hold back the validity of the majority, which was clarified from the beginning, which we knew that we're buying it, that each one should have it at different times. And therefore, although generally we hold by biblical halacha ein breira, that doesn't contradict our Gemara that concludes halacha is like a Elazar ben Yaakov, then in such a type of situation we will say yesh breira. However, the Rabbanan, as in our Mishnah, argue in Elazar ben Yaakov because they hold that still, since you still have to retroactively clarify something now, that at this moment is when it should be 100% this person's, which wasn't clarified when it was bought, exactly which moment is going to be whose. So even in such a case, Rabbanan hold that ein breira, and it comes out that each one is it can't have hanah from the part of his friend, and the only thing he has is a kinyan shibud, and as we said, kainamis are mafkin, the kinyan shibud, and therefore since the neder was made, it removes his rights from having from the other 50%, and since we don't know which 50% it is, therefore each one cannot come into the field. That's the machlekes of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan regarding this halacha of do you say yesh breira or ein breira. We're going to continue the rest of the Mishnah on the coming daf.